interesting, but it was just kind of like a, huh, sort of show. I don't know. They're in a weird spot right now.
Yeah, I think that was, I think everyone's kind of having that, they're not doing well right now, because Chris and I did talk about it, where AEW even seems like it's on a holding pattern. They're like, yeah, we know that we're on at a shitty night and a shitty time. Let's not really waste our A-grade stuff. And NXT kind of feels the same way, where it's just like, yeah, we're going to just fill some time here until we get back on the road, and then we'll kind of resume normal trends.
Man, I don't know. I did not listen to, I don't know what you guys talked about, but AEW was a weird show to me. Did they ever show the crowd? And I'm being dead serious.
Oh, well, Chris did fill me in on that one. Evidently, they did not have, they just had the wrestler crowd.
Okay, that was glaringly obvious. Now, not just that it was just them, but that crowd noise was so fake.
Yes.
And it was better than WWE's, but it would have been better if it just put some like cut shots in from other crowds or something. It felt like watching that show felt so claustrophobic in an outdoor venue, you know, like an open air venue. it was so weird.
Right.
Everything was a tight shot. No, like, even anything that was on a different camera angle was aiming down. It was never out. It was so strange to watch. And then I started going, wait a minute. There's no crowd here for this, is there? And then
yeah,
they never showed. Just the wrestlers and, like, you know, the over-enthusiastic fake wrestler stuff, which is just terrible. Exactly. And I don't know. It was kind of off-putting. And yeah, then I just found myself going, none of this matters. Like, none of the matches on that card mattered.
Oh.
Darby Allin lost to two guys. Yeah, as he should. And it shouldn't have lasted that long. But the only reason you can get away with that is, and I do, no sarcasm, is they have done a great job of building up how tough Darby Allin is.
Oh, yes.
So I thought that it was good. That zip tie of the legs thing was stupid.
Oh.
You ever tried to do a zip tie on anything?
No.
Yeah, well, it doesn't, like, the old fence we had, I used zip ties to keep part of it together. You pull, you automatically know something's pulling, but at the same time, like, you have to really tug at this thing. So the idea that he zip ties Ethan Page's feet together is just silliness. Because all he has to do is just not move his legs. You know? It's like,
okay.
It was like, it was stupid, but it's still, like, they still show they're a little crafty when he pulls Darby out of the ring. So, you know, whatever. But the Jungle Boy Kenny Omega thing was awkward as hell. When are we going to get to the point where we just go, Kenny Omega's not, like, there's something wrong with his wrestling personality? Like, he's so awkward.
Yeah, I don't know when that's going to become more of a defining trait. Like, I have not liked any... it doesn't help that I'm not really a Don Callis fan to start with. Although, the funny thing is I think he's actually played his part pretty well. Omega being this weird, aloof thing is just... it's like he's engaged sometimes, but he's aloof at others, and... Yeah, I don't really get what he's trying to do with the character at all.
Like, that whole thing, like, just give me one punch, like, it was just weird. Like, I actually don't mind Don Callis at all. It kind of adds to the whole group. It's small doses, of course.
But yeah. And they've done the smaller dose. I think that's probably helped too. Like, I feel like there's been smaller doses of Don Callis recently.
Yeah. Well, apparently he's not. He's actually not an executive for Impact anymore. And then on Impact, they fired him last week. So I don't know. I don't know where that's leading, if anywhere. You know.
Oh, so, right. Yeah, I did see that headline about Impact, and yeah, like, I don't think Impact is going to be going away, but I also understand if you'd rather be with, I mean, they're the B company now, right? AEW, like, I think that at this point, what, we almost have a full 2 years, or it has been a full 2 years at this juncture?
Yeah, I think somebody even mentioned I've done more in a few months than you did in 2 years. I can't remember what promo. Oh, it was the FTR, which we'll talk about that.
Oh.
But it was FTR talking to Santana and Ortiz, saying that we did more in 6 months than you've done in 2 years of AEW.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's about 2 years coming up at least.
Yeah, but I mean, I you know, no one else was going to sign the names that they've signed. You know, Mark Henry was not going to ROH. Big Show was not going to ROH.
Yeah.
And definitely neither of them were going to Impact.
Yeah. Here's the thing. This is what I always needs to be brought up. Remember, Impact is owned by Anthem. Anthem is not a poor company. So they can afford, if they want, they can afford people, you know?
Well, and you can make the same argument for ROH.
I was just going to say that, too. Yeah. They're owned by Sinclair Broadcasting. They have a boatload of money.
Yeah.
They ever wanted to.
I mean, literally two of the three stations in Columbus, because they own both the ABC and the Fox affiliate here. So, yeah, I actually get the ROH show used to tape on two different networks for me. Now it only tapes on the one, thank goodness, so I don't have to erase extras. But, yeah.
No, it's but you're right. Like, they're signing people that normally wouldn't be. Like, Andrade showing up was not a surprise. I'm going to guess that's where Tommy End, Aleister Black, shows up as well.
Oh, right.
But I think everybody else has a good chance of going somewhere else from the latest batch. So,
yeah, I mean, they can't. AEW obviously can't sign everyone. And right. Sometimes it'll be kind of interesting. Like, I would have thought that Matt Cardona was a lock for AEW. But, you know, clearly he's kind of got his own thing in mind that he wants to do.
Yeah, he seems to be pretty happy in Impact, at least. So,
yeah, Impact and doing indies.
Yeah.
Because that's I still haven't watched the AIW show that him and Curt Hawkins popped up to Cleveland there for a show.
Oh, I didn't see. I didn't hear about that one. That's cool.
Yeah, so I meant to... That was... Well... And again, the travel problem plus the there's a lot of wrestling to watch problem that it's easy not to get to something like that.
That's very easy. So that's.
But yeah, I mean, I still will take the time out at some juncture to watch that. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think any of those guys were kind of signing elsewhere. And yeah, like I mean, I guess AEW could use Santana Garrett, you know, but I'm not necessarily sure that she's a lock to sign there either.
I'd go to Impact if I was her. They're starting to run a tad thin, so it makes sense. But also, it's money, business. You go, I mean, hell, if you want to talk about running thin, Ring of Honor's women's division, for God's sake, could use some women too. So,
At least they've kind of admitted that they're just putting their extra stuff on YouTube at this point.
Yeah.
They're really not trying to do, like, I do know, because what? You know things are thin when Quinn McKay, like, I know that she has trained as a wrestler, to the best of my knowledge, for quite a while, and she definitely is in great shape, but they brought her out of the announce booth, which they've honestly, like, I mean, I want to say that she's been doing that job for, like, 2 or 3 years at this point. You
yeah,
know,
Fader Scott took off. She's been doing it. But if I remember right.
Ian Riccoboni has filled in for her, for Quinn the last couple of shows. But, I mean, I'm also still, like, I think a month behind on ROH's. So it's not exactly, I'm not exactly up to date on their product either. And half the time when I'm watching it, it's when we're doing one of these podcasts.
Yeah.
So I'm not really getting the full, the full experience of watching ROH. Yeah.
Is Roosh still their champion? That's how far off I am with it. No.
No.
Who is it? It's not Jay Lethal again, is it?
I don't think it is. I'm trying to think of who is the champion right now.
I'm looking it up.
Okay. Yeah. These are the kinds of things, because there's been just such a emphasis on the pure wrestling versus traditional just wrestling. And there's been some faction warfare going on. Like, it's actually been fairly interesting in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, it is Roosh, by the way.
Oh, okay.
He won it back last February of 2020.
Oh, you know what?
They shut down for a long time.
Well, A, they shut down, and B, he probably couldn't get out of Mexico. I would imagine.
Oh, you know, I always forget about that. Yeah, because that's why, like, Daga couldn't leave. And then, like, Tessa Blanchard got stuck down there, too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's her and Daga, I guess, are married now, if I remember right. So, yeah, because I forgot, like, a lot of Canadian wrestlers that live in the States got lucky for, like, WWE and AEW. Because that's why, the Dark Order, Uno and Grayson, were gone for a while. They couldn't get in.
Oh, I guess I didn't realize that they were not from the U.S.
Nope, both Canadian.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. But if it's a wrestler, you got a 50-50 shot. Well, no, I guess 33% shot. Samoan, Canadian, or American?
Oh, I was going to guess English. I thought English was a solid. And honestly, Stu Grayson sounds like, you could tell me that's a German name and I'd be okay with it.
Wait, say that again? I got lost on it.
Oh, Stu Grayson?
Oh.
You could sell me on that being a German name and that he's from Germany.
Oh, true. Well, until he talked. Well, you don't watch Being the Elite, so never mind.
I've skipped out again. I think I watched it for like 3 consecutive weeks and now I've probably skipped another 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, they planted the seed on that show for Hangman Page to get back in the championship picture, if you will.
Oh.
Because they all got high on Ten's cocaine and they were all hallucinating, like they're dreaming and stuff, and that was his. So he was staring at the AEW belt. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they've done a good enough job of leading that case on TV. Because even him tap dancing around, because I don't know who interviewed him. It could have been Alex Marvez but I don't really care who did it. But they asked him about, what is it? That he'd be the number one contender after the Jungle Boy and Kenny Omega match, and he just started talking about other stuff. about John Silver being ready to come back and this, that, and the other thing. Yeah. So, I mean, to me, that's good enough. Like, although him on a Coke binge daydreaming of the AEW title does sound quite amusing.
Yeah, it was a good bit. I liked it. It was probably the only good one on there. It's getting a little long in the tooth. They've got this awful bit with Vicky Guerrero, Nyla Rose, and Ryzen.
Oh, that bit? Yeah, I saw at least 2 weeks of that bit.
It's going nowhere. Now their faction is called Amen. I can't remember what it stands for, and I just went, I don't care. Like, this is garbage. It's not good. It's pointless. Whatever. So, but anyways, the Dark Horse is probably the best stuff on there. Although, I do get a kick out of Nick Jackson's trick shots. I don't know if you've seen that.
I don't think I have.
He is such a blank slate compared to his brother. Like, Matt clearly has all the charisma and personality of those two. And then there's just, you know, Nick, who I think is I think he's younger as well. We're just like,
oh yeah, okay. He is.
But sometimes that blandness actually pays off really well. And that's what I think the trick shot thing is. It just kind of cracks me up because he's like, he doesn't have to like go outside of himself to be entertaining.
Oh.
So it's like, you're just not entertaining. Okay, this works out perfectly. So others would disagree. Whatever. Doesn't matter. So,
well, he definitely doesn't put himself in front of the camera as much. So to me, that's a bit of an acknowledgement that it's maybe a little bit of a weak spot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not going to get better if you don't try. So, anyways. But yeah, but being the elitist, whatever. I don't know. I did, as we're talking about AEW again, I did finally catch the show, I told you. And I'm confused with the Miro thing. Like, why the hell would you come out there and actually get your ass whipped a little bit? Like, he comes out, throws Griff Garrison, keep wanting to call him Stu Garrison for some reason, sends him out, and then him and Brian Pillman Jr. go at it, which I guess is just setting up a match for whenever they come back. But it just seemed weird to me. Like, okay, that was different. And he's, like, stalking Penelope Ford. Like, really? Okay. we're gonna bring that one back, huh? Okay. I don't think anyone asked for that. So.
No, that's just going to be awkward when they, because that is one that I would be pretty surprised if Lana isn't in AEW.
Doesn't that, yeah, it's, there seems to be, like, I did forget about Lana, by the way, in that last round of cuts, so.
It would make, I don't know if she, well, I mean, I guess she could be a warm body on their roster, but I think their women's division is even past her skill set at this juncture.
Yes. Yeah. No, the women's division, I was actually, has gotten a lot better. So it's to me pretty difficult to, you know, just say, all right, they're not good. That's not fair. They got a lot better. And really because they finally got the belt on one of the two people that should have held it to begin with, Britt and Nyla Rose.
Oh.
I mean, it's nothing against, like, the former champs, Riho and, Hikaru Shida. But, so, not when you have, I mean, honestly, not when you have Nyla Rose there, you know. Now we're getting a Britt and Nyla Rose feud, which should have been on top anyways, but okay, whatever. But no, I mean, then the undercard, they're slowly building it up, and I think they've done a good job of keeping people off of TV who shouldn't be on TV. And leave those for, you know, the YouTube shows. Especially with our other show coming up, Rampage, you can't put someone not on, so.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting because they did announce that, and not that I'm going to go there just for this, but Pittsburgh gets the first Rampage taping.
Well, apparently, aren't they recording Wednesday and like two on Wednesday or something? I heard they're just recording both shows or something like that.
Oh,
So.
that wouldn't surprise me. But I thought, for some reason, I thought that they were selling tickets for both. I'm trying to remember what the ad looked like, and it's not ringing a bell for me. I'd need the news in front of me to
Well, they're coming here to Charlotte, and we haven't gotten tickets yet. I guess they're selling really well. Oh, and to back up, like real quick, a quick aside. You know, I was saying like WWE was selling really low ticket sales. They're actually lagging behind AEW ticket sales. They're selling maybe 2,000 for like arenas, where AEW is selling like 7, 8, 10,000 seats. That is crazy to me. That they've lost that much interest in their product after all this time of not being able to go to an event.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we've kind of talked about it a little bit. There are some just hardcore AEW people that even within our circle of friends that are just liking it out of spite of the WWE.
I'm sure.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess their product's been a little bit better, but I still don't think that they've been. NXT's kind of had a rough go of it for the most part recently, but up until the last maybe 2 months, things haven't been, things I thought were rolling along well for NXT even during the pandemic for the most part.
Yeah. The thing with NXT, well, AEW still has a lot of problems. There's no way around that. And they don't get addressed. Because, look, we just had. All right, so last week, I was curious about seeing Arn Anderson's kid debut, right? I don't want to sound this way, but it's just going to come off this way, so I'm just going to go with it. If you know you're debuting, right? Like, I'm not asking you to look like Hulk Hogan or The Rock or any of these people. But he had, to me, like Michael McGillicuddy, Curtis Axel, whatever names he was going by, right? That's the kind of energy and vibe I got from him. And that's not a positive. Like, he wasn't terrible, obviously, but it was inherently uninteresting. And I don't know. I mean, well, I know why, because they want, Cody's putting all his, childhood people. He's helping all his childhood friends or his dad's childhood friends, whatever. He's helping all of them out. So that's why he's on. All right, and I'm not saying he's a lost cause. I'm just saying he looks plain. Like,
Oh,
he looks plain, wrestled plain, and they're saying, "Oh, this is his first match." Your first match should not be on national TV.
New.
I mean, unless you're Ronda Rousey, where you practice the match for weeks. And even then, hers was WrestleMania, so, whatever. But.
And I'm sorry, but Brock Anderson is not Ronda Rousey in the skill
No.
department.
No. And again, it's not that he's terrible. It's not that he's not going to be good. I'm just saying it wasn't. Like, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good. It just wasn't.
Oh.
And but what I say, what I mean by not good is it shouldn't be on TV. Aaron Solo shouldn't be on TV right now either.
Least he has some level of experience.
Right. But.
Yeah, well, those are the people that they have for the most part been cutting out because yeah, they like you said, like they have kind of cherry picked a little bit better on AEW about who to put on main TV and who to throw on to dark.
There's, all right, this is dead horse stuff. They have too many wrestlers. I mean, Cody's bringing in all these guys from his Nightmare Factory, adding them out to the people who aren't on every week. Like, it's very weird to me. Like, there's all these people. And I don't know most of them because, like you said, too much wrestling on. They could be on Dark every week. I don't know. Or Elevation, for that matter. Like, I don't know. I don't have... I mean, I know I work from home, but I don't have that much time anymore. They went from having 2 hours and then, like, a 45-minute show on YouTube. Sometimes Dark is 2 hours. Elevation's an hour and a half sometimes. That's just AEW. You're asking too much of me. Just flat out. You're asking way too much of me. Not when I got... Well, I don't really watch Raw much anymore, but even then, I can fast forward stuff, I guess, to make it shorter. But even WWE commitments, you watch SmackDown, Raw, and NXT. Was that 7 hours? Not including whatever stuff they put on the network or
not including
a pay per view. I mean, that's 7 hours a week, and then you got 6 hours, 5 hours of AEW. That's too much. And now they're starting their show Rampage in a few months. I mean, good grief.
Yeah, that's why A didn't want to worry about monkeying with the dates with recording this podcast that much.
Yeah.
Because it really is. I mean, that's just something that we almost need to choose in advance is who to watch for the coming week. Just because, I mean, even if you worry about the two major guys, it's a lot of time. Because, like, I mean, we've kind of talked about this a lot about AEW that, you know, because I remember watching the one being the Elite was called You Should Have Put That on TV, or I believe
that should have been on Dynamite.
Oh, that should have been on Dynamite. Yeah. Okay.
And by the way, I don't know if that's a character work or not, but that is bullshit if they actually are like annoyed that people say that should have been on Dynamite, because there are things that they put on Being the Elite that goddamn should have been on Dynamite.
Oh, well, and there's even, to me, not to say that NXT, again, we've already established that NXT isn't doing everything perfectly, but I about fell over laughing because I did hop on to Twitter and I saw the Ever Rise and Hit Row segment.
Yeah. Oh, wait. The one where they're trying to spray paint the car?
The one where they're trying to spray paint the car. But, you know, that's the perfect example, though, like, because the WWE just, like, said, posted earlier today on Twitter, and that's, you know, like, it doesn't need, a lot of the things that need to be filled in on Dynamite could just be little hit things like that are thrown into your show. You know, just put from Being the Elite, or like, unless there's some weird contractual obligation thing where they can't be broadcast on TV, which I'd find extremely strange since everyone owns the copyrights and all you need to do is okay everything, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's all I'm asking out of AEW for, because, yeah, like, I saw the title of that one. I was just like, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Like, you should not, like, I understand not everything that everyone says should be on Dynamite can be fit into Dynamite. But there are things like that that would help flesh out stories that, you know, that sometimes to my annoyance, the WWE does too frequently. Like, AEW goes the other route where it's just like, oh my gosh, guys, like, fill me in a little bit here. You know, like, I don't know how many times we get to previously on Raw, or, you know, this is what happened on SmackDown. Like, they show stuff from their other shows on their shows in AEW. Like, it's not like, oh, here's this short clip from Dynamite. You know, sure, they have the little ticker, so they're informing you, but it still doesn't really help to see that, you know, Kazarian and Daniels, and I know that they've broken up, but, oh, look, they won another tag team match on AEW Dark. Like, it doesn't hit the same when you just read the ticker as seeing the highlights.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I understand why they do some of it, because they want people to get on YouTube. They want people to watch the shows. I totally understand that. But you've got to do a much better job of saying, hey, this stuff is important. And, I mean, I guess we're not the diehards, you know?
Oh, right.
So, like, I like AEW. I watch AEW. I enjoy it for the most part. But I'm also not enjoying it enough to go out and watch every single bit of it, to follow every single thing. So, and I guess it's kind of a hypocritical stance, because I got mad about the Piper Niven thing. It's like, well, no one watches NXT UK. Well, I kind of get it, but at the same time, you know, it's not essential viewing, but you can still keep up with it if, you know, like, one show or here. Like, NXT UK is a self-contained thing.
Oh.
It has to be.
Yeah.
And being the Elite should not be essential viewing to understand fucking Dynamite. You know?
Yes. Agreed.
That's long way around to get to that. So, but yeah. The one thing, and this actually kind of made me mad how good it was. That promo with FTR and Santana and Ortiz, that was so good. I mean, it felt real. It was honest, like, honest, however you want to say it. I believed every goddamn thing they said. And it just, I don't know, it just made everything, it was just so good, man. There's no other way around it. I just loved it. And it made me finally, like, really care about Santana or Ortiz again. I've always liked them. But it made me care about him. And I think it was like, and it's something that could never be done on WWE because they don't allow this stuff to happen anymore. But it was when, I can't remember who said it, but they were talking about, you know, they didn't have a dad. Their dad took off or something like that. And then they were, you know, they were raised on the streets and this, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
He goes, you think that's the same thing? Are you out of your fucking mind? Of course, they bleeped it, but it was so genuine. I was like, oh, okay. Like, you really believe there was, like, this animosity and stuff. And I loved it. Just loved it. And FTR is like, yeah. So you see us, like, buy the fancy clothes, but you don't see all the hard work that went into it and this and all that. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, this is really cool. And it just shows you how much, like, WWE drops the ball on stuff. So that's neither here nor there. But it was so good that it made me want to see a match that I kind of forgot about. Because this Inner Circle feud is not good. Inner Circle and Pinnacle feud is not good.
Well, and this is one of those ones where... And I think any of the four of us have talked about it. This whole weird there's no good guy, there's no bad guy shtick that everyone has going on.
Oh, we haven't talked about NXT yet, but you're right.
You know, it's really weird, and that's part of the weirdness.
Yeah.
You
well,
know, that
circle are the good guys. I mean, that's pretty clear now.
Yeah, it is now, but it's also just like The problem is that within the inner circle, I pretty much only want to root for Santana and Ortiz.
Sammy's not bad. He was always kind of like the... Yeah. Well, he was the shithead of the group, of course. But he's kind of like done the redemption thing, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't... He's kind of a whatever for me. Like, yeah, because I don't really have any real animosity towards him. Like, come on, man. The comment was stupid, but that's just stupid if you're going to hold that against him for any longer than it takes him to apologize.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly. So, you know, it's, yeah, so he's just kind of a non-factor to me. Like,
yeah.
So I because I can see how he could, like, I thought he was pretty fun when they first introduced him and he was doing the Jericho protege kind of thing. And I thought that even a lot of his segments leading into AEW itself, to me, lent it to him being more of a good guy. So I think he can pull it off, but I just think that that's one of those ones that needs a little bit of time, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, Sammy's only like 23. He's really young.
Yeah, he is stupid young.
So there is so much time for him, just in general, if he decides to stay in the business. You know, and I can see him being one of the guys that leaves to go to WWE. I've always thought that because I know Jericho's like Mr. AEW and this, right?
Yeah.
But it's still Jericho, and I'm sure he's like, yeah, this place is cool. You got your freedoms. You got this, but the big money, you know, despite all this stuff, the big money is still up north. So, you know, I can see him saying that sort of thing. And I don't know if he's right anymore. I mean,
yeah, his tune might be different now. You know, I think he, yeah, like to me, and I think that is a good way to transition. Is that Sammy has had a little bit of a redemption story? To me, Jericho hasn't really had it. Like, I know that he's had it the worst and that he's the one that got pushed off the cage and there's supposed to be some sympathy there for him, but I don't know. It's just a tough one for me. Like this is the point where like Jericho locked down, not that he didn't have like Hall of Fame status anyway, but, I mean, it was kind of baller to come to a new company and be their first champion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, and that really kind of puts Jericho in this weird, you know, I guess if you want to make a greatest of all time argument for him, you could. Like, I'm not going to agree with you, but, you know, his longevity and what he's been able to do has been impressive. But, you know, right now, him and MJF having a feud, like, I just don't care that much, man. Like, and I don't know what they can do to resolve that problem, honestly.
Well, I think because this whole feud started backwards. It started with a War Games.
Oh.
Like, shouldn't that be the end? It doesn't make any sense to me that you start your feud at the beginning, you get outsmarted, by the way, lose, and then go, you know, we're never going to be done with you. Like, wait, what? But they're done with you. Like, that's why I actually liked when they tried getting them to do the Stampede match, whatever. And Pinnacle, like, no. Oh. We already beat you. Why bother? So, yeah, it's just very strange. AEW is just so all over the place. I wish they would just concentrate on what works. Like, look at how Miro came in, and then they decided, no, it's got to change, and look how awesome he is now. That's the guy that should have been in WWE the whole time.
Well, and he was that in WWE for a little while.
Yeah.
But they just decided to stop booking him that way for, I don't know, I still don't get it. Like, if you feature someone on another one of your TV shows, why aren't you taking care of them in the ring? That's confusing to me.
Yeah, but, all right. Enough about AEW from last week. Except for, I never want to see a staged MMA fight in my life again. Ever. Ever. I'm watching that going, this is trash. And they had to, like, they backed themselves in the corner because there's no way Hager's losing. So I was like, okay.
That was the weirdest part for me, was Hager. Like, I'm like, man, are they really going to have Wardlow win this thing? I was like, they can't have him win a fake MMA match. Like, I don't care if it's fake and everyone knows it's predetermined. And I don't care if Jake Hager looks blown up after one round and there's no way he's going to be able to fight anyone in a good MMA competition. You know, like, you can't have him lose this match. And I did think that there was a chance that was going to happen, and then it didn't, so.
No, I'm total opposite. I didn't think for one second he was going to lose. I thought they did a fairly decent job of pretending he could. But I never honestly once thought he was going to. Just knowing, you know, he's got the MMA background, there's no chance in hell he's going to lose.
Oh.
So, or his MMA career, I don't know if it's still going or not, but I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. So,
I guess I just figured they definitely are pushing, as they should, pushing Wardlow more than Hager.
Yes.
So I thought that maybe there is a chance that Wardlow would win that one. But they can always have a return match with, you know, a match that's more suited for Wardlow and.
Right. Well, yeah, because they made a big deal out of how they're 1-1, and that they were going to shake hands until Sean Spears interfered. You know, so you know, yeah, they still have that aspect or that way they can go with it, and I think it's a smart way of going about it too, because. Haas, like, Jim Ross is in his element right there, too. Haas fights, oh my god, he's so happy. Except for these fake MMA rules, and he's like, okay, this is stupid. But there is just something about some like big-ass men beating the shit out of each other. That's why the heavyweight division of any sport makes the most money. I mean,
oh.
Maybe UFC's changed a little bit, but, you know, Who are the icons? I mean, look at some of the biggest boxers of all time, and they're heavyweights. Now, I know that you've got your Sugar Ray, I would say Sugar Ray Robinson. I think he was a heavyweight, actually.
Yeah, Leonard.
Who the hell am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Sugar Ray Leonard.
Thank you. God damn.
Yeah, him and Marvin Hagler. And, I mean, I guess right now, is it Canelo Alvarez?
Sure.
But yeah, in general, the heavyweights are more known. Like, because was his name Ruiz that won it? The overweight Mexican guy, Andy yes. Ruiz.
Overweight Mexican guy, that's funny. But yes, yeah. For a boxer, yeah.
Yeah. I mean. I shouldn't be carrying 300 pounds, and he's about my height, so.
Yeah, well, I'm far under that now, thank God.
But anyway, yeah, I agree that in general, the heavyweight division makes more money. And I just do think that AEW, and I'm not, I know I've made the comments on Twitter at least, they have been smart enough to... Jim Ross is strictly a Keller man now. They switched roles between him and Excalibur, and the announcing has been way better ever since then.
Yeah. The problem with the announcing, though, is three-man booth. Jim Ross is doing old-timey wrestling, talking about how you get paid more if you're champion. You get more money for this, more money for this, and we all know it's bullshit.
Oh, right.
You know, like, you know, you win the match, you get more money. No, bullshit. We know it doesn't happen. You got Excalibur, who can't remember everything all the time. And then Tony Schiavone, who's still in that I'm just happy to be here phase. So, and I will say this about WWE as well. Two-man booths, man.
Oh.
Michael Cole and Pat McAfee are good. Because there's two of them. They don't have to fucking play off of somebody else getting in the way. So, whatever. But
yeah, that duo's worked pretty well so far. And I guess I'm not really surprised. Pat McAfee definitely brings a different element.
Yes.
To the
to
the
show. Fire me element. I'm rich. I don't need this. You asked me. So you're already at a disadvantage. You needed me. I didn't need you.
Yep, that is a true statement. That helps. But also, he hasn't been beat down by Vince McMahon quite yet. So I will probably look forward to him coming close to being a standard WWE announcer at some point.
I honestly do not see that ever happening.
It's,
I really don't.
He might be one of the few people that, because he can walk away, that can do that.
Yeah, and that's the only reason I say that is he can just go, nah, leave. Like, I don't need this bullshit. I'm
making plenty of money elsewhere. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I make more money doing my dumb podcast than I would ever make doing this. So, yeah. But, you know, that's a take it away with Pat McAfee. It doesn't matter what you think of the guy.
Oh, right.
It's just facts, you know? So
exactly.
You hired a millionaire to do the color commentating job, and now you're going to try and get, like, the idea that you can control him? Like, all right. So, which is still weird. They never really followed through with that NXT stuff with him. And, yes, that's a very harsh shift to NXT.
Well, we tried to shift to NXT about 15 minutes ago, so.
Yeah, well, we just needed to make sure that everyone knows that the MMA match was garbage. But I'm kind of at a loss, like, for NXT right now, because I enjoy the show. I'm never going to say I'm not, because there's still so much fun stuff on there. There's good stuff, but it's so all over the place, and there's a lot of sameness to things. And what I mean is, everyone attacks everybody. Something happens, everyone attacks. Something happens, everyone attacks. Something happens, everyone's like, can we just go and not have something happen?
Duh.
Like, the Ever-Rise thing, I'm giving a pass, one, because it's Ever-Rise. Two, because that was actually funny. It led to a match where they got their ass kicked, and that was it. You know?
Yeah.
There's none of this other bullshit that goes along with it. So, I like that. Like, plus, I like Ever-Rise. Like, they're a jobber team disguised as a team that you're supposed to kind of sort of take seriously. But you can't, because you know you can't. I mean, to go back to what you were talking about, Ty Dolla. That's his name, right?
Top Dollar.
Top Dollar, that's right. Sorry. Isn't there a rapper named Ty Dolla $ign?
I don't know.
Okay, whatever. I just know it's
still not really my chosen musical genre, so.
No. And it's getting more confusing because everyone's just using the same beginning. Lil or just whatever. There were a lot of doctors. There was a lot of ICEs when we were young. Now there's like a lot of Lils.
Oh.
There's Lil Nas X. I'm like, is that Nas? No, Nas X. What? Okay, forget it. So, but yeah, so I like that the feud's kind of weird to me, but it doesn't mean it's bad. Like,
it always helps.
Hit Rose arguing with like Ever-Rise. Like, what? Why?
Yeah, it helps. Yeah, they're just they're not even, because they're kind of chicken shit heels. But I feel like you normally apply that to someone who wins their matches, or at least cheats to win the matches, and they don't do that. You know what I mean? They are there solely to be beaten. But yeah. They are quite entertaining in getting their asses handed to them all the time.
Yes, they are. I don't even know their names. I just know them as Ever-Rise, which, you know, I know it's probably bad. But the pudgy guy's getting his ass kicked, and then the skinny guy is on the apron talking shit. He gets in and actually does some stuff until he gets his ass kicked. And I'm like, this is so great. And then, I'm sorry, what was his name again? The big dude?
Top Dollar.
Top Dollar, that's it. He comes in and, like, apparently he was a real rapper?
I believe so. Real rapper and real football player.
Okay, because I guess he's at two. Oh, that makes sense then. Okay. Because that man is huge. And
yeah, I'm assuming he was line of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. But the man is huge, and he's kind of awkward. He's not your usual, you know, WWE big man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's kind of one of those, I mean, not that he isn't tall, but he's also about as wide as a house.
Right. And his moveset's kind of awkward. And I kind of dig it, though. And I think I said this about Hit Row last time. They're just so different than everything else. And it doesn't seem put on, either. I don't know. Oh. They're really good actors. But it doesn't seem... It seems natural. And I know that Shane Strickland or... Oh God, not Shane Strickland.
Swerve.
Thanks. I know he really is, like, he really does do things like music and that. So I guess it really helps the gimmick along.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's just good. I like the whole thing. They got right now they're the perfect foils. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Gets two dorks. And you just thoroughly thrashed them too. So
yeah, I mean, that was one of those things that I've always liked about NXT, and I do think that's also a thing that they do on AEW on a fairly regular basis, the enhancement talent. Like, Ever-Rise, like we said, like, most of your enhancement talent is not that amusing. But they're enhancement talent nonetheless. And it's good to have matches like that just to get those visual wins on TV. You know? So them having a feud with Ever-Rise is great. Like, it gets them a couple of early wins without having them immediately take on someone like, you know, the Grizzle Young Veterans or Thatcher and Ciampa, who seem to be a team now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, like, let them win a couple of matches before we start seeing them against other names that have, you know, that have been established.
Yeah, and right now the tag team division for NXT seems to be almost overloaded. There's just a ton of teams, and where they all came from is beyond me.
They all just popped up.
They are.
because, yeah. I mean, Everrise got some TV time, and then I felt like they were off TV, and for the last couple of months, they've pretty consistently been on TV.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just talking, like, just in general with them?
Well, yeah, and then Hit Row popped up 3 weeks ago?
I'd say a little bit longer than that, but they've been teasing them, so...
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been long, though. But that's, you know, Everrise is a fairly new team. Hit Row is a bit of a new team. And I guess they definitely don't see... I thought that they could have played Gargano and Theory as a tag team, but they definitely don't seem to be going that way now.
No, and can we please talk about that? Because
sure,
Austin Theory all of a sudden was supposedly getting cheered last night. Now, I didn't hear that, by the way. But that's what Vic was trying to tell us.
Oh, are you deaf?
Were people really cheering for Theory?
Again, are you... Yeah, if you have ears, yes, you should... It was weird. Like, they were cheering for The Way. In general.
Yeah, like Gargano for sure.
Yeah, but they were
maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention. That's
okay. I guess I do feel like they were generally positive for The Way. Maybe they weren't as into Theory as I'm thinking, just because I just remember thinking to myself, this is weird. Like, why? Because I thought it was another one of those weird, we're getting two heels against each other. Like, and I guess I've always said that I don't mind two heels fighting each other because I think that they should have more animosity towards each other than two baby faces. But in this case, there really isn't any reason for them to have, you know, for The Way and... I'm trying to think. Pete Dunne and Oney Lorcan, like, they don't really have any beef against each other.
Well, but that's kind of the perfect example of what's the goofiness of NXT right now. Because we just had the Theory and Oney Lorcan fighting, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got Theory taking on, oh God, what was his name? What's his name? Karrion Kross. Then you got Theory against... who the hell did he fight this week? Oh my God, I'm
drawing. Well, no, it was the tag team match this week. Gargano and Theory against Lorcan and Dunn.
Thank you. Jesus Christ, man. I'm losing it today. Ugh, I told you. It's gonna be a weird one.
Yeah, I'm holding it better than I thought I would, so yeah. I'm not going to argue.
But you're right, though. Like, The Way is getting cheered.
Yeah,
But then Indy and Candace come out, and they're not. So it's like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, and they have real enough humans in there that they're not piping in noise, at least for NXT. I'm not going to say anything about Raw and or SmackDown, but...
Well, they're still piping in noise, because if you look, that crowd isn't exactly enthusiastic most of the time.
Oh.
Because I was noticing, like, there's a lot of sitting on their hands stuff.
Yeah, standing on their hands.
Yeah, it's just so weird to me. Like, you finally get to go to these shows, you're just going to sit there? Like, get up. Like, do something. Like, no one forced you to be there. You know? So...
Yeah, agreed.
Whatever. Yeah, but no.
That's why I'm not going to go to a show, because I'm not going to stand up and cheer.
Well, they're still pumping in crowd noise. You can tell. But I guess not as bad. I don't know, however you want to say it. So
yeah, well, it's more of a sweetener at this point than outright cheering. Like, it hasn't gotten... that first night of the TakeOver... Was it the WrestleMania TakeOver where they had this they were riding the sweetener over the real crowd, and it got weird. Yes. And yeah, they've stuck.
Fucking nuts.
Yeah, they've done a way better job. Well, the next night, A, they didn't have any of it. And B, since then, they've done a better job. If they're still doing it, it's definitely blending in better.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like even like everything that went on last night, to me, was kind of the epitome of the problem right now with NXT. No one knows who the hell to cheer for anymore.
Oh.
So, because even, like, Finn Balor was the tweener, right? He's gone. Wherever Finn went, they've never said. So, you've got Io Shirai who comes out. Clearly a babyface, right? But then she's all bitchy to Zoe Stark. For no reason. Mercedes Martinez. The last I knew, she was a bad guy. She has a match with Xia Li. And she's a good guy now?
Well, the two of us went over this one before, but they've been positioning her as a good guy for ever since she took... who'd she just lose to in the... Raquel Gonzalez.
Yeah.
No, so it hasn't been a long run as a babyface, and it's still questionable as to, you know, it being a run since it's only been like a month.
You're still really not sure though. Like, okay, I've never really been given a reason to cheer for her, but I'm supposed to, I guess. You know? And then because she lost her match clean to Xia, like, what? And like, I will say Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez pretty clear their heels. That one, there's really no mistake, right?
Yeah.
Trying to think, like the whole thing with the way is weird.
Yes.
The Karrion Kross thing is weird.
Well, and I guess that's a moment on that just made that whole. I found it weird that the crowd was cheering for Gargano. Because it's just like, exactly. Where did this come from? Like, I know that he's been entertaining, but he's also been an idiot and definitely been a heel. And it's just like, huh? Like, why are you cheering for this?
Yeah.
And then Karrion Kross gives him the... I don't know, is he calling it the Bushido Blade or whatever his elbow to the back of the head is being called?
I don't know. Like the Red Cross or something beats me.
Oh, yeah. Because
it has some goofy, catchy bullshit.
Yeah, and I might be confusing his naming of it with Will Ospreay.
Okay.
But one way or the other, yeah. Elbow to the back of the head. Like, he comes in and just levels Gargano. It's just like, huh?
Yeah, and you're like, oh, the bad guy just attacked the bad guy.
Yeah, and I don't know if they were trying to... And that was another one where, like, I felt like they were at least trying to position Kross as kind of a good guy. Or at least kind of a badass going into his feud with five other men. Like, I don't get it.
Nope. No, I'm with you. I don't either. The Karrion Kross is just a weird one anyways, because he's been working main event. Like, WWE main event.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we all knew that was only a matter of time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. His size was not going to keep him down on NXT for any length of time. So, yeah, get acclimated to the system. Get acclimated to how they work the cameras. And then you can get your call up.
I'm trying to figure out, there was somebody else that was working them too. I can't remember who it was. Was it Bronson Reed?
Yes, Bronson Reed.
Well, makes sense. So.
Yep. Not terribly surprising. Because, I mean, well, and both of them can talk.
Right. When needed, yes. Karrion Kross is actually very good.
Yeah, like, well, I still don't get his character at all, or no, whatever that's it's supposed to be. And I think we talked about that last week, so no need to rehash it this one. But, yeah, I mean, because I feel like when I heard him on Impact, he did well. And when they've given him stuff that isn't just gibberish nonsense in NXT about some ticking clock, he's done fine for himself. So yeah, I can see both of them fitting in pretty easy on the main roster. Although it will be interesting, I think that things will be a little more interesting for Bronson Reed just because he isn't terribly tall, but he should be able to fit into that Kevin Owens type of role of he's still big enough that he's a problem to deal with, even though he's not terribly tall.
Yeah, and I thought that was kind of a mistake they made this week when Top Dollar said, "Oh, you're so colossal," and he was like towering over him.
Oh.
It's kind of undercutting the whole thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was a mistake to do. Like, if you want that, you save it and go, "Wow, this guy's actually bigger than the colossal." Like, you know, something like that, but.
And just the fact that there isn't going to be any type of a feud coming out of that situation is kind of weird. Because it didn't even seem like Swerve was setting his sights on the North American Championships necessarily during that whole thing.
Yeah, and what happened to, I almost called him Leo Rush. Oh no, the skinny black guy that was feuding with.
Are you talking about Cheeseburger?
Well, that wasn't Cheeseburger, but it might as well be.
Leon Ruff.
Thank you. Whatever happened to him?
To me, that's still just a tough sell. Like, they did a good job with his feud, and then he lost it to Swerve, and. Yeah, he hasn't been heard from since, and yeah, like, you can be any size you want to in wrestling, but I'm sorry, there are still optics that are involved in the situation, and he had, because it's almost weird where the guy, he has the height to supposedly add more weight. But, I mean, I'm sure the guy's a grown-ass man at this point, and it's probably not that easy for that guy to gain a whole lot of weight.
He just looks like one of those guys that you can't.
Well, yeah. And that's why I was just trying to word it as well as I could. I think he's just going to be the size that he is, because, I mean, I jokingly called him Cheeseburger, but that Cheeseburger has made a life out of being that, a wrestling life out of being that size. Mm-hmm. So I could see Leon Ruff pulling off something like that, but even for NXT wise, he's kind of small. If nothing else, he's kind of weird and gangly, because I would assume he would probably tower over the likes of like Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole.
Yeah. On that, can we please talk about Adam Cole for a second? This has, since we're on like the looks kind of thing, is he doing anything for his physique anymore? That was the first time. Now, he's never been, he's never been a Randy Orton or anything like that, right?
Right.
Last night was, like, the sloppiest that I can remember seeing him.
Yeah, the more his wife gets into shape, the less he gets into shape. Are they married or are they just engaged still?
Engaged.
Okay. The more toned his fiance gets, the less toned he gets.
Yeah,
I don't know why it's.
Figure out if he's hurt.
Yeah, you would think that since he took about a month off after WrestleMania there, you would think that if he had an injury, it would have resolved itself in that time period.
Yeah, we got to remember all the wear and tear that guy's done, like done to his body. It may just be one of these things where it's like it's really hard to work out. Like, you know, basketball players, like they don't want to run anymore, you know, because like I'm tired of running. It hurts to run. Like just lingering stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I kind of wonder, because he didn't always look this way, you know?
No.
And, you know, Kyle O'Reilly, he's put some muscle on. But Adam
yes.
Cole's just seemingly gotten worse.
Adam, I think that's the weirdest thing, is that normally you get into the WWE and you pack. Because, like, I mean, even Daniel Bryan packed on weight after he... It took him a few years, but definitely on the main roster, you could see that he filled out more. And of course, he's also dropped a majority of that weight, I think, since his comeback. Yeah. But I also think that you can see the difference in his training, too. Like, to me, he still looks like a bigger, small guy than he used to.
Yeah, definition and all that sort of stuff, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when he was like American Dragon or whatever, he was pretty bulky, speaking of Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson back then. But he was pretty bulky. And he's just not now. It's very weird. Not weird, because you know, you change the way you diet and train and whatever else. Something I had to learn. And so, but like Adam Cole, that's not Adam Cole's case. Like, he just looks soft. Like, I hate saying stuff like that. I hate, like, most of the time, this is like the females are the ones that get their looks criticized. But,
oh, right.
You know, but in this case, he kind of deserves it.
Well, and he doesn't have just a natural size to fall back onto either.
Which, no, he doesn't.
Which doesn't help him. Like, because, you know, I'm sure that you could criticize Bronson Reed. But, you know, they play it into the gimmick and it just makes it fine. You know, and Cole, you can't go, oh, well, he's going to do a 300-pound tsunami splash off the top rope. It's just like, no, the guy's like a 150.
Yeah. Now, that of course, that has nothing to do with his talent, because he's great.
But right.
You know what? Unless he doesn't want to go to the main roster, and he's like, no, I'm just going to stay like this because there's no chance they're going to call me up. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him, I guess. I don't know. No.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if that's what you want to do, I guess go for it? Question mark?
It's kind of like an unreasonable thing to say, and I understand that.
Okay. Yeah, because even talking in his same kind of, I guess if you just generally want to call it weight class, like, I mean, Gargano is ripped, Ciampa has been ripped for a while now at this point, too.
Yeah.
There's ways to obviously maintain your smaller size, but not look as doughy as Adam Cole does.
Doughy's a decent word. I mean, he's not fat, obviously, but he's not toned at all. You know? So.
No, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, but it's like. And again, he didn't look out of place against Karrion Kross. He looked smaller, sure, but you know, that happens. There's that difference, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to blame it on that at all. Like, I'm not going to say that's a problem, because it's not. I'm just basically just critiquing his looks. So, you know, I know we're not supposed to do that in this day and age, but whatever. It's a guy. You're allowed to do whatever you want to a guy. So
yep,
that's the rules.
It's but, okay. I didn't make the rules. I yeah. guess I'm trying to think. I feel like we've covered a lot of NXT here.
I will say I'm looking forward to this Great American Bash card because Ciampa and Thatcher versus MSK is going to be awesome. That match is going to be awesome. So I really can't wait for that.
Well, I
as
guess...
As long as, like, Grizzled Young Veterans don't interfere and ruin it, then we're fine.
That's
what I'm kind of afraid of. But as long as they don't, that match is going to be great.
Yeah, I guess there's a possibility of that happening, but... I guess I'm not as worried about that. I just feel like Ciampa and Thatcher are going to take an L.
Yeah.
I don't think the big money for either of them is in a tag team, but we'll see, I suppose. And I guess this was another one that we should talk about before moseying on out of here. We got the reveal of the diamond mine.
Loved it.
Or mine.
Yeah, the diamond mine. And I knew it was going to be Tyler Rust because Malcolm Bivens kept saying he's a diamond in the rough. It didn't occur to me that it was going to be Roderick Strong. That's what I thought, you know, he really quit NXT or anything. But I just figured, okay. They're giving Roddy something to do, keeping Roddy out of it for a while, you know, the whole Undisputed Era thing just does its course, whatever. So when they came out, I was like, I think that's Roderick Strong. And they attacked Kushida instead of Kyle O'Reilly. That kind of threw me off.
Yeah.
But then I was like, this is great. And I have no idea who the other guy is.
Hideki Suzuki. I had to look that one up because I was unaware of who he was. But evidently he was brought over as a trainer initially, but they seem to be using him on TV now.
Nice. No, I'm digging it. And it's something different. Getting Malcolm Bivens on TV consistently would be kind of nice because he's really good. So,
yeah, I, you know. Well, that was a strange signing when it happened, just because of the WWE's general non-use of managers. But yeah. Then it became even weirder when Robert Stone was getting way more time than Malcolm Bivens. It's just kind of like, I mean, I guess I think that Robbie E can talk, but...
Yes, and they've barely done anything with him.
Yeah, he hasn't exactly had a stellar go at it, and I'm not necessarily sure that it's his fault. But, yeah, the Robert Stone brand has not gone very well.
Well, losing Chelsea Green didn't help.
No.
You know? Because that was supposed to be the whole thing.
Like, yeah. Okay. Like, you lose her like 2 weeks into your gimmick.
It went nowhere. Ugh. Yeah, but it's just that was weird to me. And it's the start-stop, like abbreviated start-stop with him. Like, it just, I don't know. But anyways. But yeah, but to get Malcolm Bivens, Roderick Strong needs a mouthpiece. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the worst talker, but he's better off when he has someone doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, some people aren't cut out for promos. And that's why managers are important. So you can have somebody hype everything up. And it's been kind of lost, obviously. So, but yeah, I liked it. We did forget that there was a Jake Atlas sighting, by the way. So,
yeah, Jake Atlas to the rescue.
Yeah, he's like, well, I guess I just entered this war. I'm like, ugh, go away. Oh, in other NXT news today, this probably shouldn't even be brought up, but hey, Did you see the news about Toni Storm?
Oh, being bisexual?
Yes. That's all.
Yeah.
In case you weren't a fan.
You should be now.
Yeah, I know. I know we're not supposed to say stuff like that. I don't care. So, I really don't. Toni Storm's hot as fuck, man. So.
Hey, yep. Hey, yeah. Good for her. It's Pride Month. Go for it.
And by the way, how easy is it for a woman to come out as bisexual? Just because, like, that's kind of the reason why I acted the way I did. Because there's a ton of guys out there like, fuck yeah. Right. But if it was, Kate, I hate picking on, but like, if it was Randy Orton comes out as bisexual, they'd be like, what? No, Randy, no. Like, you know, just one of those things.
Yeah. Like,
as much progress as we pretend we're making, we're not. So,
oh, anyways. Well, just like this podcast, we think we're making progress and we're really not. So,
yeah.
Bell time beer for the evening. Jackie O's Heat Seeker Hazy Double IPA, Cashmere, Belma, and Citra hops were used in this fine 9% alcohol beverage. Yeah, Jackie O's has a pretty big footprint. We also gave this to my brother-in-law for Father's Day. So that's the quality we thought about it, is that it deserved to be a present. So I'll leave that there. It was a good. It's a very good hazy double IPA. Anything being consumed on your end, Mr. Mays?
Yeah, this week I did. It's by Low Tide Brewing out of John's Island, which is outside of Charleston. One of my favorite places to go. I'll be there in a few weeks. It's called Drink to Get Laid. LEI. Apostrophe D, you know, late. Tropical sour ale, 8.5%. Really good. Sipper though. They live up to like sours.
Oh.
So not an Edmunds Oast living up to sour, but still sour. So it's good. So, and being a sour ale, it's not that bad. So
cool. That was at Granny Mays. I'm at DeFrango11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at places like Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.